A broadcast service of City College and the San Diego Community College District. This is Jazz FM 88.3 KSDS San Diego. I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. Support for Inside Art comes from the members of San Diego's Jazz 88.3. This week on Inside Art, we'll preview the 2025 edition of La Jolla Playhouse's Without Walls Festival. But first, Saturday, April 19th, San Diego Symphony celebrates the spirit of Mardi Gras with a night of hot New Orleans jazz featuring trumpeter, vocalist, and conductor Byron Stripling with the San Diego Symphony at the Jacobs Music Center downtown. Aside from leading his own quartet, Stripling is one of the most accomplished orchestral pops instrumentalists in the world. And since 2002, he's served as conductor and artistic director of the Columbus Jazz Orchestra. Classically trained at the Eastman School of Music and a veteran of the Clark Terry and Lionel Hampton bands, Byron is one of the most engaging and uplifting performers working in jazz today. Byron Stripling, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Inside Art.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And it sounds like from all those different people you mentioned, I can't keep a job.
Well, actually, I think there's not enough of you to go around, actually. But I'm kind of interested in how you began your journey as a trumpeter. Was it something that you fell in love with the instrument, or the instrument fell in love with you?
Oh, I love that question. How about this? It was a love affair from on both sides of it. So, you know, my father was a great musician. He was a classical singer. And he'd listen to classical music all during the day. And then when he got home from work, he was a college professor. He taught also voice. And then when he got home from work, he'd put on a little bit, because, you know, it was classical in the morning. Then when he got home, he would put on Dizzy Gillespie and Miles Davis, because he liked trumpet players too. He'd put on Duke Ellington, but he always favored Cootie Williams, the great trumpet player from Duke Ellington's band. And so Clifford Brown, he loved, especially the album with Sarah Vaughan, on and on. I heard that constantly, and I was attracted to that. So literally, the trumpet, once I kissed the mouthpiece the first time, I fell in love, and it's been an everlasting love affair since then.
It's an instrument that requires a lot of attention, and you never stop rehearsing. You never stop getting better.
Yeah, it's true. It's one of my dear friends is Doc Severinsen, and he says, the trumpet is the jealous mistress. And so we're talking about that love affair. If you step away from the trumpet and you ignore it, she gets very mad. And so you always have to put that trumpet to your lips. Otherwise, it has something to tell you when you pick it up and play it.
But you're also an accomplished vocalist, too. You've even done musical theater. And how did that element come into your performances?
Well, so my father was a choir director, and when your father's a choir director at some church, that means that you have to sing in the church choir. It's required. So that was forced, but I began liking it, and, you know, he was classically trained, so we always did those things, but then he would give me solos in those things, but also in gospel things, and so I love gospel music in that way, and I just started singing by myself, and then Clark Terry told me, he says, whenever you play a gig, if you can sing a little bit, just do that, because that's the one thing, remember, you'll play amazing on the trumpet. And they're like, but he sang, you know.
And he sang just a little bit himself.
He was so incredible with that. And, you know, then he pointed me to the trumpet players like Louis Armstrong, and even Dizzy would sing. I used to tour with Dizzy Gillespie, and he would always sing a song at least once a night. So it's just fun. And the biggest thing of this is that when you're singing a song, you get to rest your chops. And so that's the biggest thing for a trumpet player.
Well, of course it is, yes. Now, for this gig with San Diego Symphony, you're bringing along a keyboardist you've played with for many years, Bobby Floyd. Tell us a little bit about him.
Bobby Floyd got his career started. He's from Marion, Ohio, in the middle of nowhere. He ends up playing organ behind Ray Charles for a few years, and Ray Charles fell in love with him. And then he started touring, and he's played with all these major orchestras. He has his own small group. Then Dr. John grabbed him for a while and had him. So he is always the star of every show, and it's embarrassing to me because I think I should be the star, But if he's with me, everybody just points and focuses on him. He's a spectacular artist. So he'll be playing piano on that. Particularly, he's got a great version of Battle Hymn of the Republic, which is a New Orleans staple they used to play in the clubs. And also, he'll be on the Hammond B3 organ, which will also give us that churchy gospel feel, you know, and Jimmy Smith kind of vibe, too, along with that. He's a spectacular musician. I can't wait for people to hear him.
And then there's vocalist Sydney McSweeney, who will also be performing here.
Well, she's one of the new treasures, I feel, and new upcoming stars. It's always good when you get people that are on their way up. I won't be able to talk to her pretty soon because she's going to be so famous, you know. But I heard her playing in little bars and cafes like this, and then I invited her to the big stage. And she can sing any kind of repertoire. She's classically trained. But then fell in love with Broadway and then fell in love with jazz. And so she's one of those people that can literally do anything. She's young, just hit, 30 years old. And we need more people like that in that age group that know what jazz and blues and those things are about. And she also sings great gospel music, too. And this is a new thing for her. It's just like she feels it in her heart. So she will actually, when we talk about New Orleans, when we talk about, Mardi Gras, what New Orleans does, that gospel music is always the basis of all of that. Because if you know Aretha Franklin or any great black, musician from that era, gospel was their foundation. And that's with Sydney, she heard it and she felt it. And so she's going to do a great tune called His Eye is on the Sparrow, which always brings the audience to a standing ovation each and every time she sings it. She's simply the best. And I can't wait for everybody to hear her.
So did you come up with did you curate the program that will be heard overall?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I do is I create, programs for orchestras or my small group all around the country. And we play. That's my goal. I want to spread that happiness and that love that music brings to people.
And most recently, you've been doing that as the Pops conductor of the Pittsburgh Symphony since 2020, I believe.
Yes. About late 2019, right into 2020. And I always tell people, if you hire me, I might start a pandemic. And that's what happened as soon as they hired me in Pittsburgh. But I love the orchestra and have a great time there. And it's one of the great orchestras in the world. Most people aren't aware that when they go to Europe, the houses are packed. And they go like once every 2 years. And people go crazy over them. Their previous Pops conductor was Marvin Hamlisch. And he left an amazing legacy. And what we know is, we learned from that show Hamilton that with legacy, comes a great responsibility. It's like they say in the show, planting seeds in a garden you never get to see. So it's important that I uphold the legacy that Marvin Hamlisch gave to that great orchestra as a Pops conductor. So I'm excited to be in the role for the last 3+ years, and I'll be there another 3 years coming up. So
well, Marvin Hamlisch has a legacy as the Pops conductor for the San Diego Symphony as well. You may be aware.
Yes, I'm aware of that too. So maybe I can give some of that Marvin Hamlisch love to the audience out there in San Diego.
Well, now you're also a full-time conductor and artistic director for the Columbus Jazz Orchestra in Ohio. A lot of jazz fans are not even aware of this orchestra. Tell us about this esteemed organization.
The Columbus Jazz Orchestra this year is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Before there was a Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, or any of these sort of bands that model themselves after a symphony, the Columbus Jazz Orchestra started in the early 70s. And so we were just wrapping up our 50th year. We play tons and tons of concerts. I have one this coming Friday. We just played one last Friday at the Columbus Zoo. But we have a home. We have a subscription. It's a series. There's no other than Lincoln Center Jazz Band, no or the other jazz band, five saxes, four trombones, four trumpets, bass, piano, drums. There's no other organization in the world I know that does that except for us. And we were first and Lincoln Center. We are nonprofit 501c3. So that's how we function. So it is one of the great jazz bands in the world. And we've traveled, different places too, and people go crazy wherever we go.
But on a regular basis, really, you're serving the people of Ohio for the most part.
Absolutely. The state of Ohio takes good care of us, too, because they realize what a value it is. See, the thing, Dave, with this is everybody always looked at the symphony orchestra as the arts thing, but nobody ever thought, well, let's do that with a jazz orchestra. So I even, you know, consult with jazz bands across the country. Here's kind of how you can make that connection to let you know your state government that jazz is also this American art form, you know, in some ways more than an orchestra, because it was born here, these big bands, you know, it's Fletcher Henderson, and it's all the old bands that started, including Duke Ellington, Count Basie, and so many others. So here's a way to support that and keep that, once again, there's that word, keep that legacy alive. And that's what we do through the Columbus Jazz Orchestra. And additionally, we also think it's important to educate kids. And so we do tons and tons of education, because we know that if you're like me, when I went into the social studies room, when I went into the English room, when I went into the math room especially, nothing happened for me. But when I set foot in the bandstand, something entered my body and a light went on and it changed my life forever. What we know is that if you can give a kid a trumpet, a trombone, a saxophone, or a clarinet, then they're less likely to walk around with a gun, and that could save their lives and other lives. And so we want people, and that's the thing with young people, they just need stuff to do. And music is that perfect place for them to share with others and to find a sense of self through just playing an instrument. Hard to describe that to your normal person. You know, like, what does music mean? Because what it is music, what we sell is invisible. You can't like touch it, right? But you can feel it in your heart. And that's the goal with whatever concert I play, is that people are moved and they are lifted, because music can save lives. It certainly saved mine.
Byron Stripling is my guest on this segment of Inside Art. You sure put that in stark terms. I've never heard anybody, you know, really phrase it that way as far as how it benefits kids growing up these days.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So easy to get in trouble, so easy to hang out on the corner and, you know, you're smoking and you're drinking. What's the song? Smoking, drinking, never thinking of tomorrow. So everybody's like, you know, I had to get in a vocal there. But, you know, there's that way to live life, and then there's something to find your purpose. And sometimes, see, when we teach people music and the trumpet or whatever we teach them, it's not that they'll be professionals. In that is that they get a love of music, and if they become professional, that's great too, but they get a love of music and realizing that it can soundtrack their whole lives and they can be uplifted by it. You know, it's like music has the power to make you run when there ain't nothing behind you, the power to make you laugh when there ain't nothing funny, the power to make you sad when there's nothing to be sad about. This is what those emotions can happen from listening to great music. And that goes from Bach, Beethoven, Brahms, Stravinsky, and so many others. But it also goes through Duke Ellington and Count Basie and Miles Davis and Dizzy Gillespie and Clifford Brown and, you know, John Coltrane. There's nothing better than listening to John Coltrane's Love Supreme to feel what love is in your heart. And that's what all my performances are about, is how can I elicit those emotions verbally through song or just from the great music, the sound of a trumpet, the sound of a saxophone. And those are the things, or the sound of a Hammond B3 organ. When people hear Bobby Floyd on my show play the Hammond B3 organ and the piano, they're going to get lifted from that and they'll leave the theater much better. That's what I say, because theater, these are magical places, right? Where this music happens. And we have the power to have people leave. And when they get home, they don't kick their cat or their dog. They're just a little bit nicer, because I've seen people come into the concert hall. And it's kind of like that old song, forget your troubles, come on, get happy. That's what happens when you listen to a great concert. There's a shared experience with the person you're sitting next to who you might not even know. But for that 2 hours, you're melded together experiencing great art hopefully on a great level that changes you. So this is why it's so important.
I think our listeners are getting a pretty good sense of the charisma of Byron Stripling as an artist and leader on stage, and we're looking forward to your appearance with the San Diego Symphony along with special guests on April 19th. Byron, thanks again for joining us on Inside Art. What a pleasure.
Well, I so appreciate you, Dave, for talking to me, and I think my favorite station is going to be 88.3 when I'm in San Diego.
It's been said she knocks them dead when she lands in town. What a shame, what a shame how she cools them down. I said the fellas, that she can't get all the fellas. She ain't met it. Now Georgia, claim her, Georgia, name her, sweet Georgia Brown.
San Diego Symphony presents a Mardi Gras celebration with Byron Stripling and the San Diego Symphony Orchestra with special guests Saturday, April 19th at 7:30 in the Jacobs Music Center downtown. You can purchase tickets and learn more at sandiegosymphony.org. Stay with us as we preview La Jolla Playhouse's Without Walls Festival, one of the leading sight-inspired immersive theater and performing arts festivals of its kind in the country. That's next as Inside Art continues here on San Diego's Jazz 88.3. Funding for Inside Art comes from the members of Jazz 88.3, where your support brings the joy and history of jazz and all of the arts to San Diego. To become a member, visit jazz88.org/donate.